Chapter 6. As I stood across from Yakah, both of us were stripped to the waist, and Bakoth explained the rules of the fight.
No strikes, biting, or headbutting, the general said with a serious expression on his face. The goal is to push, throw, or trick your opponent into stepping outside of the ring, or to force the other man to submit. First man to leave the ring or to admit defeat loses. If one of you should fall unconscious, that is also counted as a submission.
Understood.
Yep, I replied as I sized up the big orc.
Understood.
Yakah nodded and cracked his thick neck. Yakah's chest was covered in long, deep scars that looked like they'd been made by a whip, and I suspected his back probably looked worse. Between that and the fact his tusks had clearly been sawed off at some point, I silently wondered what life for Yakah had been like under Igurg's rule.
Very well,
Bakoth said with a fierce grin, and then he stepped outside of the ring as the crowd began to cheer.
You may begin!
Yakah crouched down and spread his hands wide, and I did the same as we started to circle each other.
Toss him out of the ring, partner!
Amrila screamed from the sidelines. I watched Yakah as he moved, and I tried to guess where his center of gravity was. The massive orc outweighed me by at least 50 pounds, maybe more. But I was quicker, and I had a few inches on the tuskless man, so I needed to use that to my advantage. I darted forward, and Yakah reared up to grapple me like I thought he would, but I dropped down and tried to sweep his legs out from under him. As I hooked my leg around the back of the big orc, he started to fall, but he twisted around and tried to take me down with him. The two of us broke apart, rolled, and then faced off again.
Clever!
Yakah grinned as he stared me down.
But not quite fast enough.
You're pretty agile for a big guy, I shot back.
You have to be to wrangle hogs,
the scarred orc replied, and then he shot one leg behind himself and launched forward. Yakah was able to wrap his huge arms around me and grab my belt, and he tried to lift me off the ground. It happened so fast that the broad man was able to push me back 2 feet before I was able to shove my left foot back and skid to a stop. Then I snaked my arms around Yakah's, and I pushed off my back foot as hard as I could. As the orc was momentarily thrown off balance, I kept my grip on him and threw myself forward, over his shoulder. Then I rolled forward as I pulled the big man down with me, and I did my best to throw Yakah backwards. But the mammoth of an orc refused to let go of me, and we both hit the ground in a tangle of limbs. The two of us scrambled for a moment as we both struggled to end up on top. And Yakah was able to get his tree-trunk-like leg over me before he pressed a huge elbow against my throat. The enormous orc didn't apply enough pressure to hurt me, but it was enough to restrict my breath and pin me to the ground. My mind went on autopilot, and for a moment I lifted one shoulder off the ground, but then remembered that Bakoth hadn't said anything about pins or a three count. I would have to break the hold before I passed out. So as little black spots started to swim through my field of vision, I lifted my pelvis and got my long legs around Yakah's thick waist. Then I hooked my feet and clenched my thighs together as tight as I could.
Ah!
The tuskless man grunted with sudden surprise as I crushed him between my legs. The moment I felt the pressure of Yakah's elbow let up slightly, I swung my hips to the side to dislodge the orcish warrior, and the crowd around us roared and stamped their feet with approval. Yakah hit the ground hard, but then he rolled and got back to his feet as I kicked my legs out and hopped off the dirt. The orc's face was red, and his small eyes were focused on me, so I knew I had him right where I wanted him. I took a step back and tried to look like I wanted to put more space between the two of us, but I was very aware of where the edge of the ring was. Suddenly, Yakah rushed forward and raised his hands to grab my shoulder and push me back out of the rope circle, but I was ready for that. I stepped to one side at the last second, took hold of the orc's belt as he rushed past me, and then pulled as hard as I could to increase Yakah's considerable momentum. The tuskless man wasn't able to stop himself in time, and he sailed right over the rope boundary and into the crowd as they went wild with cheers and boos. Several of the soldiers gathered around, caught Yakah before he hit the dirt, and they turned him around with pats on the back and friendly laughs.
I knew you would win!
Amrila squealed as she ran up, threw her slender arms around my neck, and then whispered into my ear.
You won me 50 gold pieces.
I'm glad you're happy. I chuckled, and I held the lithe woman against me and kissed her deeply. The crowd around us cheered again as I claimed my reward from my Zinkari wife, and there were several shouts of encouragement.
Chatteron and Feistrin both came up to congratulate me with rough pats on my sweaty back. Both the Dolrath warriors had been with me in the Battle of Takhfet, and I was glad to see them again. Even Yakar came up to shake my hand in the spirit of good sportsmanship.
"You're stronger than I thought,"
the scarred man said as he took my hand.
"Well done, brother."
"Thanks, Yakar," I replied in a good-natured tone. "I thought you had me there a couple of times."
"Come, shield brother," Bakoth broke in. "We've been summoned to the meeting house, and we should clean ourselves up before we present ourselves to the leaders of the gloom."
"I'll see you around, Yakar," I said to the big orc by way of farewell. "Good match."
"Good match, brother,"
the tuskless warrior replied, and he inclined his head to me.
"Brother,"
Scourge repeated in an impressed tone as he, Bakoth, Amreel, and I walked through the city toward the meeting house.
"That's not something an orc says lightly. You have a friend for life with that poor, disgraced man."
"Disgraced?" I asked in curiosity. "What do you mean?"
"The big brute has no tusks,"
Scourge explained.
"Or at least, they've only just begun to grow back. That only happens as a form of punishment in orcish clans. Presumably, he must have upset Igurg very deeply. Whether or not it was deserved, Yakar would feel a great deal of shame about his lost tusks."
"Huh," I grunted as I thought about the heavy scars across the large man's body. "Well, then I'm even happier that I killed Igurg. Sounds like he was a real bastard even before he was possessed."
"Indeed,"
Bakoth nodded with a solemn expression.
"Any leader who has to go to those sorts of lengths to prove their strength is surely trying to cover over something."
"Poor Yakar,"
Amreela added with a wistful look.
"He's kind of dumb, but I can't imagine he deserved that."
"I think Ibsith is starting to wear off on you, partner," I teased my Zinkari wife.
"She is not,"
Amreela shot back with pretend offense.
"Ibsith is far too sweet to call anyone dumb."
Amreela handed my gear back to me, and then Bakoth and I walked to the tents next to the meeting house, while Scourge and the Horned Woman headed into the wooden building. These were the tents I'd been brought to the first time I'd come to the encampment. Back then, Bakoth had detained Amreela and me. That was only a couple of months ago, but it felt a lot longer after everything that had happened since then. Inside the tent, there was a long table with food and wine laid out along it, and several Dolrath attendants waited quietly to see to our needs. The general and I each went behind wooden partitions, and there were low tables that had pitchers filled with water, and a basin so we could clean up.
"Do you require fresh garments, shield brother?"
A male attendant I didn't know asked me. "Oh," I blinked and was caught a little off guard. "No thanks, I think my clothes will be fine this time."
"Very well, sir."
The attendant bowed and left me to get fully dressed again. Once I was clean and presentable, I went into the main part of the tent and found Bakoth as he adjusted the straps of his beetle-shell breastplate.
"Are you ready, Eddie?"
the red-haired man asked.
"As I'll ever be," I replied.
"How much of your title do you wish me to use when I announce you?"
"Oh, God," I winced. "I don't know, just enough to give everyone an idea who I am, I guess. But not the whole thing. Definitely leave out the Slayer of Basilisks bit. It was only one, and I had a lot of help."
"People like the basilisk part,"
Bakoth countered with an amused expression.
"Then just use your best judgment,"
I snorted. "I trust you."
"You're in good hands, friend,"
the hawk-faced man grinned. Bakoth and I left the small side tent and mounted the steps to the meeting house, and then the ceremonial guards on either side of the entrance opened the heavy wooden doors for us.
"Great Chief Ekname, jewel of the Dolrath and honored guests,"
Bakoth called out in a voice that carried through the noisy hall.
"Eddie Hill, King of the Tektris Forest Goblins, shield brother to the Dolrath, slayer of trolls, pitworms and basilisks, tamer of garms, hero of Takhfet, and the vampire of the gloom requests audience with this council."
"We do not oversell it," I muttered to Bakoth as I looked at the leaders of the gloom gathered in the hall of the meeting house.
"You said to use my best judgment,"
the red-haired general snickered. All eyes in the meeting house were now on me, and I could feel my heart start to beat against my chest. The orc siblings Zuag and Bulra were in the front row, next to old Chief Murdrak of the Karardu. I could also see the ancient leader of the Grimthorn Gnomes, and Mare Dular, the newly reinstated leader of Takhfet. Nyleme sat close to her mother, Chief Ekname, and Amreel and Scourge were seated close to them. But there were a lot of faces I didn't recognize either. I also realized I didn't see Vemin, Ekname's sketchy consort.
Actually, I hadn't seen the sleazeball in a while, and I wondered what had happened to him.
Welcome, Shield Brother,
Ekname said in her rich voice.
The Council would like to hear from you first, since it was your report that alerted us to the growing danger presented by the Mad Chief.
Step into the center of the room, Bakoth advised me in a whisper. Give a curt bow and then speak your mind. Thanks, I replied in a dry tone as I felt my stomach flip-flop in my gut. Then I walked into the center of the open space on the floor and looked around at the serious faces that waited for me to speak. It was like a bad dream where you have to give a book report but realize you forgot to put on your pants. I looked down at my legs to confirm I indeed had pants on, but then I reminded myself I could do this. I'd fought monsters and demons before and won. I could handle a little public speaking. Great leaders, I started. When I first came to the gloom from the Twilight Region, I found Lady Ibsith in distress and running from Nyctors in the Great Forest. That was my first experience in these lands, and I knew anyone who could hurt someone as sweet and gracious as the Yinni Princess had to be evil. So, I took Ibsith somewhere secret, where I protected her from her insane half-brother. I looked around at the Night Elves, Orcs, and Gnomes in the Meeting House, and started to feel more confidence. As I listened to my own words, I realized how important they were, and that what I had to say was bigger than me, my family, and my friends. Everyone in this room would lose all they had if we didn't stop Ursinger before he gained the power to take over the whole of the gloom. I know I'm an outsider, I went on in a voice that rang with conviction. But I fell in love with the gloom, just like I fell in love with Ibsith, Amrila, and Nylame, my three wives. It's for them and my friends that I've decided to stop Ursinger before he can destroy all they hold dear. I turned, faced each individual of the council, and looked them in the eye before I continued. My friends and I went to the secret hunting lodge of Ursinger and found the contract he signed with the demon lord Belzat. I straightened my back and stood to my full height, and my head almost touched the ceiling. Then, I fought the Mad Chief and the abominations he created in the woods outside of the Yinni capital. I took the information I had to the chiefs here today, and to powerful artificers I know. The artificers and Chief Murdrak both told me they believe Ursinger is slowly being possessed by this demon. It's clear we have to stop him before it's too late. The shockwave of the council's immediate applause hit me like a physical blow, and I was in shock for a moment. That wasn't the reaction I'd expected. I couldn't say what I did expect, but it definitely wasn't that.
If you will forgive me, King Eddie.
A high-pitched voice broke through the applause.
But how can we know we can trust you? Until a few weeks ago, no one had ever even heard of you. For all we know, you could be an agent of the Mad Chief, here to incite unrest and force the Dolrath and Karadu to break the ancient treaty.
I believe the young warrior to be telling the truth,
Chief Murdrak retorted in a voice that shook with age.
He toppled one tyrant already, and when he was offered to be made the leader of Igerg's former forces, Eddie Hill declined the honor and reinstated Mad Dular, a good and honorable man.
It's true, Dular shouted as he stood and looked over to me. I owe a great debt to Eddie Hill. When I granted him the riches of the fallen warlord, rather than take it all himself, he split it among his warriors, and he even gave some to the people of Tarkfet for damages caused during the fight.
A murmur washed through the council as Dular nodded his yellow-haired head to me, and I inclined my head back at him. I was suddenly filled with an indescribable feeling as I listened to the people I'd helped in the gloom stand up for me and share my deeds. I'd just done what felt right at the time, but now I could see the impact my actions had on so many people, and I was humbled and proud at the same time.
I will also vouch for my son-in-law,
Chief Ekname added in a clear voice that cut through the chatter of the crowd.
After all, I would not let just any vagabond marry my only child with my blessing. Thank you, Shield Brother. Please, take a seat at my right hand.
I was kind of glad to not have to be in front of the entire hall anymore, and I sat in a chair on Ekname's right side. Then a servant handed me a goblet of ale, and I happily took a drink to settle my nerves.
Well done, my son,
the Dolrath chief said to me in a low voice.
My daughter is a fortunate woman.
Thank you, ma'am, I replied, and then I took another sip of ale.
I would like to call forth Bolra,
Chief Murdrak said as she turned back to the council.
The young shaman is a seer of no small talent. She might be able to intuit a path forward for us all.
More murmurs broke out amongst the crowd, and I watched as the beautiful orcish woman stood and was led to the center of the room by Zuak, her brother. Bora looked even prettier than I remembered her being, and I had to admit I developed a bit of a crush on the mysterious woman since she'd healed Dread. The slim orc woman had soft, green-toned skin, long, wavy brown hair, and brilliant green eyes a man could get lost in. Zuag helped the graceful shaman spread a blanket with strange symbols woven into the fabric on the floor, and then Bora stood in the middle of the blanket and accepted a silver flask from the orc captain. When Bora took a long drink from the flask, she made a face as if whatever was in the flask was very bitter. Then the brunette mystic wiped her mouth, handed the flask back to her brother, and closed her soft green eyes. I noticed the room was suddenly so quiet you could hear a mouse fart, and I waited to see what would happen next.
"Behold,"
Bora intoned in a vibrant alto voice.
"I see the armies of the gloom, standing row after row as a wave of darkness consumes them. Night elves, orcs, gnomes, and dwarves are all covered in a thick black fog. They are choked by its putrid stench."
Then the slender orcish woman's eyes opened, and I was shocked to see they were no longer green, but black like Amrila's eyes.
"But there is still a light that burns in the caverns and tunnels,"
Bora continued as her head turned toward me with an eerily blank expression.
"A light so bright it stings my eyes. I see the people as they flock to the light and gather in the warmth of its safety. There are trees and life all around me. A forest, the great forest. That is where the light shines brightest, but..."
The seer faltered and stumbled slightly, but Zuag caught her elbow and helped his sister stay upright.
But if the light goes out..."
Bulra's voice stuttered a little.
"If it should leave or be extinguished, then the darkness will spread. Its insidious tendrils will weave their way through every tunnel, into every crack and crevice, until it has consumed everything."
Then Bulra's eyes went wide as she saw something that none of the rest of us could see, and it clearly terrified her, judging by the sharp gasp she let out. As I watched the horror dawn on the slim orc's face, I felt my heart skip, and I stood suddenly. I wasn't sure what I planned to do, but I felt Ekname's firm hand on my arm, and when I looked down, the Dolrath chief shook her head.
"The vision must run its course,"
the older woman whispered.
"We cannot interfere."
I turned my head back to Bulra, and my breath came fast and hard as I helplessly watched what happened next.
"There will be no safe place,"
Bulra almost shouted.
"No rest! It sees me! He sees me! The darkness seeks me out! And there is no place in the gloom where I might hide! It...
The beautiful mystic screamed and then fainted, but Zuag quickly grabbed Bulra and gently laid his sister on the ground. I wrenched my arm free from Ekname's grasp, ran to Bulra's side, and knelt down next to the pretty orc as the murmurs from the crowd began again. "Is she okay?" I asked the orc captain.
"She often faints after so strong a vision."
Zuag nodded, but I could see that he looked pale and shaken. "Is there anything I can do?" I pressed, since I was concerned for the delicate woman.
"No, little brother."
The stoic man shook his head.
"Bulra will be all right shortly, but I'm sure she'll be fine."
"Okay," I replied, but I was unsettled by the worried look on Zuag's broad face. "But if there's anything I can do, you only have to say the word."
"Thank you, Eddie Hill,"
the bald orc said as he gave me a strange look I couldn't put my finger on. Then Zuag carefully lifted Bulra in his powerful arms and carried her from the meeting house. As I watched the captain of Tor's Bane carry the beautiful mystic out, a part of me wanted to follow them and see that Bulra was really okay. But as I stood in the center of the room, the sound of half the council speaking at once filtered into my awareness. I looked at the leaders and elders gathered, and I saw concern, fear, even anger as they began to debate what to do. Then my eyes landed on the serene, wrinkled face of the elder of Grimthorn. The old gnome's eyes looked right into mine, and he pointed at me, placed his hand on his throat, and gestured at the other leaders. The old man wanted me to speak. "We'll lead Ursinger and his army to the great forest." I said loudly and in a confident voice I didn't recognize as my own.
What?
One night elf in elaborate beetle shell armor responded.
Why? The sea I saw destruction and darkness spread from the forest.
No. I shook my head and took a deep breath to steady myself. She said the great forest is where the light would shine brightest, so we trick Ursinger into facing us there. The Dolrath will come up from the south, and the Kharardu can flank them from the north.
I suppose you think you are this light in the forest, then?
The man in the gaudy armor scoffed. I think all of us are the light, I retorted. That sounds cheesy, but I think that's what Bulra must have seen. All of us gathered against the Mad Chief and ready to fight to the last man to stop his darkness from taking over the gloom. I don't think I'm the light, but I'm part of it. And I'm ready to do whatever it takes to stop Ursinger.
There was a pause as I stared down the Night Elf in his fancy armor, and I waited for a snarky reply, but the man's expression changed as he looked at me.
Well, then...
The Night Elf nodded slowly.
I shall gladly stand with you, King Eddie.
As will I.
Nyleme shouted as she stood, and her face glowed with pride.
Me too!
Amrila jumped up from her seat and then kicked Scourge in the shin.
And me.
The Zinkari man sighed as he also stood. One by one, people began to stand all around the meeting house and pledge themselves to the cause. Bakoth cheered and stomped his feet in the corner where he'd posted up, and Mayor Dular clapped his hands together and grinned. Even the silent soldiers from Grimthorn gave up low, rhythmic grunts to show their support. It took several minutes for the leaders assembled to regain their composure, and the Nectame stood and addressed the council.
Then it is agreed,
the tall warrior said above the noise.
We shall plan for a battle in the Great Forest. In the next 2 weeks, expect fast runners to deliver the call to battle, and be ready to march.
There was another round of applause, and then people slowly began to file from the hall.
You are a natural leader, my son.
Ekname smiled at me.
People will speak of this day for generations to come.
Something about that idea makes my stomach hurt. I snorted.
That just means you understand the weight of leadership.
The Kharardu chief chuckled as he approached Ekname and me.
I have had a sour stomach for 300 years.
That's good to know, I said with a wry smile.
Great lady,
Murdrak said as he turned to his fellow chief and held out a leather satchel.
I have brought this to you as well. It is the potion made from the basilisk's teeth and poison sack.
Thank you, dear friend,
the Dolrath woman said in a warm tone.
The families of the petrified soldiers thank you too. They will be relieved to have their loved ones home.
It is my pleasure.
The wrinkled Night Elf nodded before he glanced at me.
Quite the speech you gave, young man. It seems you are just the hero needed in this historic time.
I just said what I felt. I replied in an embarrassed tone.
I'm certainly glad you did.
Ekname smiled at me.
But we should let you go. My daughter and your friends will be waiting to congratulate you and heap praise on you.
Thank you, ma'am, I said with a small bow, and I was glad to be able to leave and go someplace quiet. And thank you, Chief Murdrak. The two chiefs nodded before I turned away and looked around for my wives, Bakoth and Scourge, but I couldn't see any of them, so I assumed they were outside. As I left the meeting house, I spotted the four of them in a cluster, not far from the doors, and I went over to where they all stood.
You were wonderful, Eddie,
Nyleme said as she kissed me on the cheek.
Brilliant.
Amrila agreed, and then she kissed me on the other cheek.
You've certainly got them all riled up,
Scourge added in a wry voice.
You don't think Eddie gave a stirring speech?
Bakoth chuckled as he looked at the gray-skinned thief.
Oh, very stirring, Scourge nodded. But as a Zinkari, I have a natural mistrust of mobs. They often turn on the first thing with horns they can see.
Well, we should talk about that next thing on our to-do list, I said, as I looked at my friends. Murdrak brought the cure to help the soldiers the basilisk turned to stone, so we're going to go help them before the ladies and I go home for a little while.
Oh, goody, the Zinkari man grinned. More time in this swamp.
We should bring Chatteron,
Bakoth commented. He has some gift for the healing arts. Chatteron had done his best to fix up my garms when we rescued them from some fucking goblins in the twilight. I knew that he had some knowledge in the healing arts, but the man was more of a field medic than a doctor. That's a good idea, I nodded. Maybe we can see if Zuag is planning on going through the swamps too. We could travel with them, and his sister is a healer as well.
Oh, you mean Bora?
Amrila replied with a mischievous grin.
The very pretty seer.
Yes, I sighed as I tried to suppress the flush in my face. She healed dread. Bora could be useful to have there, too.
Oh, I think she will be very good to have around.
The horned woman replied with a wink. All right. I snorted and turned to walk away so my Zinkari wife couldn't see me blush. I'm going to find the Karardu party. You all can go get any supplies we need and find Chatteron.
I'll walk with you, Scourge said as he moved to follow me.
Do you think you'll be able to get some of the resistance to help with the fight? I asked, as the two of us walked through the encampment to find where the Karardu had set up.
I'm sure of it,
the gray-skinned man replied with a nod of his head.
But I don't think I will be as inspiring as you were back in the meeting house. I'm not a sentimental man, but even I was moved a little back there.
Thanks, I chuckled. I've never been in a situation like that before. But as long as the tribes gather their forces against Ursinger, then I guess I did my job.
There are times in history where the right man shows up at the right time.
Scourge mused with an uncharacteristic reverence.
I suspect you will be remembered as such a man.
Fuck. That idea was a lot to take in. And I fell into a silent reverie for a little while the Zinkari thief and I walked toward the river on the northern side of the city. I'd always been just a regular guy, just another face in the crowd, despite my height. The idea that I was now some kind of leader here in the gloom was really starting to sink in, and it both excited and humbled me. I'd collected a list of titles as long as my arm, and Bakoth always seemed to find another one to tack on when he introduced me. It was a big responsibility, the way I saw it. People counted on me now to do the right thing, and I intended to live up to that commitment. When Scourge and I got to the bigger tents, I started to see more orcs in the sand-colored, loose-fitting garments of the Karardu, and my mind snapped back to the task at hand.
Where do you think Zuag and Bora would be?
I asked the Zinkari thief.
Probably with the Karardu chief,
Scourge replied as he narrowed his eyes and scanned the nearby tents, and then he decisively pointed at a mid-sized tent.
I'd bet money on that one.
Why that one? I asked as I looked where the horned man pointed. There are no guards outside. Wouldn't there be guards?
Murdrak has a reputation for being annoyingly humble.
Scourge rolled his eyes.
So, rather than have showy guards posted outside his tent, he has those two men in clerical garb, but you can tell from the way they hold themselves that they are not regular pious types. Those are fighting men.
I looked at the two men in robes who stood casually outside of the tent. I wouldn't have noticed it at first, but they did have something about them that seemed out of place for clerics. The straight, rigid posture, and how they stood with their hands close to where a weapon might be concealed under the folds of their flowy robes. Good eyes, I commented to the gray-skinned man in an impressed tone.
Thank you, Scourge replied with a modest smile. Years of training as a thief teaches you to see what's hidden, whether it's a book that looks out of place and might hide some jewels, or a guard who wants to blend in and look like they're not a guard.
The Zinkari man and I walked up to the two clerics outside of the tent, one night elf and one orc, and they both watched us approach with suspicious glares. I'd like to see Captain Zuak, I said to the men in robes. Is he here?
I will see if the captain will receive you,
the night elf cleric on the left replied. Thanks, I smiled. You can tell him Eddie Hill has asked to see him. The night elf went inside the tent, which left Scourge and I to awkwardly wait with the orc in clerical robes.
You are Eddie Hill,
the bald orc asked as he stared at Scourge and I with dark eyes that didn't seem to blink enough. Yeah, I nodded and tried to act casual. And you are?
Rook,
the man curtly replied. He still hadn't blinked, and I started to count the seconds to see how much longer his eyes could remain wide open.
Nice to meet you, Rook,
I answered as I uncomfortably met the orc's intense gaze.
I would like to thank you for freeing Tarkfet,
the guard said without much emotion.
I have family there, and I'm told that throughout the confrontation, your first thought seemed to be for the safety of the villagers.
Oh, I hesitated since I was a little caught off guard. It was the least I could do. I'm glad your family's okay.
The captain will see you, Eddie Hill,
the night elf cleric said as he came back out of the tent.
May Oru's favor shine on you.
Thanks?
I bowed my head a little since I wasn't sure what the correct response to that should be. Scourge and I stepped into the tent and found ourselves in a small reception area. Like Bakoth's home, this was a tent with multiple rooms made up of thick cloth walls or wooden partitions. Beaded curtains hung in place of doors, and I wasn't sure if we should wander around until we found Zuag or wait for him to come meet us. "Was it me?" I whispered to Scourge. "Or was that orc kind of creepy?"
"He's a priest of Auru," the thief replied in a low tone. "They're all like that. Auru teaches warriors should be ever vigilant and without outward emotion. That's why Rook barely blinked. They consider it a sign of weakness."
My eyes started to water just looking at him. I snorted.
"How can I help you, Eddie?"
Zuag asked as he suddenly came through one of the beaded curtains. "Captain?" I smiled as I saw the broad-shouldered soldier. "I had a question for you and Bora. Is she doing all right?"
"She's recovering from her vision,"
Zuag replied in his gruff voice.
"Please, follow me and we can discuss your question."
The black-haired warrior led us through the same beaded curtain he'd come through, and we entered a large room that seemed to double as a sitting room and sleeping quarters. Bulra lounged on a pile of cushions with her long, smooth legs demurely tucked under her as she sat. The mystic had changed into a small linen top that revealed her graceful shoulders and trim midsection. The long crimson skirt the pretty orc woman wore on her bottom half was tied just above her hip bones with a golden cord, and the deep slits up both sides of the garment exposed the light green skin of her supple thighs. I tried not to stare.
"We have guests, sister,"
Zuag rumbled as we entered.
"It is good to see you again, Eddie."
Bulra smiled up at me from her comfortable position on the floor. "It's good to see you too." I nodded as I tried to find a safe place to rest my eyes. "This is my friend, Scourge."
"Are you feeling better?"
the Zinkari man asked with polite interest.
"I am a little tired still,"
the seer replied with a gracious smile.
"But I will be fine, thank you."
"Then allow me to offer you some warm tea."
Scourge proudly pulled out his new thermos and was clearly eager for a chance to show it off.
"It is a special blend of an earl named Grey, and I find it most invigorating."
The dark-skinned man removed the cap of the thermos and poured some tea into it, and I could see the liquid was still hot enough to steam. Then he handed the cup to Bulra, and she daintily took it in both hands and blew on it before she took a sip.
"Oh, my,"
the mysterious orc woman breathed.
"This is lovely. Thank you so much, friend Scourge."
"It was a gift from our Eddie here,"
the Zinkari man replied with a sly smile as he looked over at me.
"He is a very generous friend."
I tried not to roll my eyes at the obvious ploy. It was good to know Scourge wanted to be a good wingman, but I got enough of that from my wives.
"Please,"
Zuag gestured to the cushions and thick pillows arranged on the carpeted ground.
"Have a seat and tell me what your question is."
"I was wondering if you both planned on going back through the Twilight region with the rest of the Kharardu?" I asked as I sat down on a large blue cushion, and Scourge took a golden-colored pillow next to the seer. "Ekname has asked me to take some potion to a swamp in the Twilight to heal some Dolrath soldiers who were petrified by a basilisk. I know Bulra is a healer, and we could use her help."
"That could be quite dangerous,"
the orc captain replied as he anxiously looked at his willowy sister.
"I'm not sure I'd be comfortable taking Bulra into that sort of danger."
"There will be several Dolrath soldiers with us,"
the Zinkari thief interjected in a casual tone, as if it were just a trip to the corner store.
"And, of course, Eddie and Lady Nylame will be there with their powerful rifles."
"We have a warrior named Chatteron coming along," I added. "His father is a healer, but he's not as gifted as you are, Bulra."
"I think it would be fine,"
the mystic said to her older brother, but her green eyes were on me.
"I didn't see anything about a swamp in my vision, so there is no need for you to worry about my safety."
"Your visions are not always precise,"
Zuag retorted in a paternal tone as he shook his head.
"There's no way to know where the doom you saw for yourself will come from."
"Or if the doom will occur at all,"
Bulra argued as she sat up a little and looked at the dark-haired orcish man with a defiant expression of her delicate features.
"A vision is but one version of the future. No one's fate is set in stone."
"Bulra,"
the captain sighed.
"Zuag,"
the brunette woman cut her brother off.
"I am not a child, and our friends need help."
Zuag narrowed his eyes at the beautiful mystic, and he took a deep breath that made his nostrils flare. I started to get a feel for their sibling dynamic as I looked back and forth between the two. Before this, I'd been under the impression it was Zuag who was in charge, and Bulra just listened to her brother's wishes. Now I understood it was more complicated than that, and Bulra clearly had a mind of her own. "If it helps," I said carefully, "we'll have Amrila, Bakoth, Nylame, and Scourge with us. They're all very capable warriors." "Oh," the Zinkari thief scoffed as he slowly shook his head.
"I will not be going to the swamp. I have to start mobilizing the any resistance, which saves me from crawling through the bug-infested muck."
"Okay," I snorted. "But still, Bulra's safety will be the top priority. Will you both come with us?" I saw Bulra give her brother a stern look and raise her arched eyebrows.
"Fine," Zuag relented with an exasperated sigh. "My sister and I will help you restore the Dol Wrath soldiers.